please can take your place. Thank you for your punctuality. So now we will start with the second session. So Mr. Nachan, please.
And it also gives me a weapon to hit on your head if you are. All right. Now let us continue with the chart here. Oh, yeah. We came here to 7-year plan. And then by that time, by 1953, he had the entire Baha'i world. In other words, the national spiritual assemblies that existed at that time engaged in this, in the work of teaching plans, engaged in gaining experience how to go ahead with the organizing the teaching work. Then, while he was during this period here, and even the earlier, when you read his writings, you see that he is all the time pointing to the day when there will be international interaction among the Baha'is in preparation for future events. You find that in the writings of Shoghi Effendi, in Persian and in English. But it became much more intense during these 7 years that he would give pointers that we are now approaching a time when this will happen. The most effective, the most convincing passages that you find was here at the end of the 7-year plan, before the 10-year plan began. Somewhere here, if this is 1953, it's 1951. What does he do in 1951? In 1951, he sends two messages. One to the United States and Canada. One to, already by that time, Canada had been separated from the United States. It was only the United States. Canada had already formed its own National Assembly in 1948. So this is 1951. So to the United States NSA and to the British NSA, he wrote two letters. To one he sent a cablegram, to another he sent a letter. And in these two messages, which are almost identical in wording, he points out, he says, now we are having an African campaign. The African campaign has started. 1951, 52, 53, 2 years. Please follow me here, because it's a very important thing for us to realize, to understand. He says that, as you all know, in the Holy Land, we created the International Baha'i Council. Because the International Baha'i Council came into existence in 1950 and 1951, towards the end of 1950 and the beginning of 1951. Shoghi Effendi appointed an International Baha'i Council. And he said that this International Baha'i Council is a preamble to the election of the Universal House of Justice. It is indeed an embryonic Universal House of Justice. Okay. So the friends were now thinking, we already have now a preparatory body which is gradually going to develop to certain stages to become the Universal House of Justice. So he drew the attention of the friends to that message. Then he says, but now we are starting on the ground with a 2-year plan. And this 2-year plan will be under the directorship, the managership of the British National Spiritual Assembly. And I am calling on 3 other national assemblies to join the American and the British, so that it will be 5. I'm calling on Iran. I'm calling on India. I'm calling on Egypt. These 3, with you 2, will make 5. I want the machinery of these 5 national assemblies to work together in a given field. And that given field is going to be Africa. And this is extremely important from the point of view of the evolution of the organic work of the Baha'i community, because for the first time the machinery of 5 national assemblies will be working together in a teaching field. And this we've never had before. And this is a prelude, an introduction to the time when all the national assemblies of the world will work together in an international undertaking. So you see, this is the thing. On the one hand, he draws attention to the Universal House of Justice and its early formation through the preparations for the International Council. On the other hand, he's talking about international collaboration, working together so that all national assemblies will be collaborating, cooperating, interacting with one another. This is what happened during 2 years of the Soviet Union. When we discuss the 7-year plan and the plans before the 7-year plan in greater detail during the following days, you will see how Shoghi Effendi prepared the Baha'i world the 10-year plan. Then the 10-year plan began. 1953 till 1963. It was a unique experience for the Baha'i world, because for the first time you had this world interaction of national assemblies collaborating with each other. As soon as we reach the day when we are going to discuss the 10-year crusade, you will see here on this space here, I hope Noemi and the other organizers will be able to do this, to put for you the maps that Shoghi Effendi drew to show you how this interaction was going to take place between national assemblies. There are a number of maps that you will see displayed here to facilitate our discussion about the 10-year plan when the time comes. Then the 10-year plan, and then we had a respite here of 1 year. The House of Justice was formed in 1963. There was a respite of 1 year, and then a new plan came from the House of Justice from 1964 till 1973, 9-year plan. So here is the 9-year plan. Then we had another respite of 1 year. Then the House of Justice gave us the 5-year plan, followed by the 7-year plan. But here, when it comes to the, yes, say, that we had already entered the second epoch here with the second seven-year plan. Why? Because Shoghi Effendi had himself indicated that plan, the first seven-year plan of the Americans will be ended. Joining, we are going to enter a new epoch. So he ended the first epoch himself here, in this line here. This is why you have the first epoch. This was defined by Shoghi Effendi. 16 years plus 7 years. He himself said that we're going to have a second epoch. And he himself said that by the end of the 10-year plan, in other words, we're going to have a new epoch in the future under the Universal House of Justice. Here, he said he himself defined this year as the year when the second epoch will finish. So he himself defined this date and this date. And then, according to definitions of Shoghi Effendi, they started the third epoch. The third epoch was started with 9 years, 5 years, 7 year plans. Then themselves, the House of Justice decided, at this point there is a new epoch. Now when the time comes, and we will be discussing in detail all these points, you will have to return, go back to your chart and look at your chart over and over again. We give the reason why the in 4 years, then here again, the House of Justice decided that it's going to be a new epoch. The fourth epoch will end there. And in the notes, you will see why the House of Justice decided that this should be the end of another epoch. And now we are in the fifth epoch, and the first plan of the fifth epoch is the five-year plan in which we are now engaged, which ends in the year 2006. There will be other epochs continue on in this formative age. The formative age will have yet another epoch. I can't tell you how much because I'm not a prophet. It will go on until the time comes when the House of Justice decides that this is the end and there is God. You must have this time periods clear in your own mind. Yes? There's a problem?
Yes.
What is it?
Because sometimes it doesn't work.
All right. Now, you have this chart also? Now, as you see, we have the same divisions again, the dispensation of Baha'u'llah, but this time it is not in terms of epochs of the formative age. That is another division of time according to Shoghi Effendi's letters. This time he is looking at the tablets of the divine plan. And he says the Baha'i dispensation can be divided in terms of the tablets of the divine plan into another format, another way of looking at time. And this is the way he has described it. Starts again 1843, as you know, is the time for the Baha'i dispensation. We are in the heroic age here. It's divided now into the time of Baha'u'llah and Abdul Baha. Then we have the time of Abdul Baha, 1916. No, Abdul Baha is, I'm sorry that we have not drawn for you a line here, which is 1920. Oh, here it is. 1921, which is the passing of Abdul Baha. 1916 to 1917 is the time when he revealed the tablets of the divine plan. So during this entire period, the Baha'is really had no idea how the faith of Baha'u'llah is going to spread throughout the world. Until these years, 1916-1917, the tablets of the divine plan, 14 tablets of the divine plan were revealed. And we have a whole section in your notes devoted to the tablets of the divine plan. This was for the first time an intimation to the Baha'i world that, aha, this is not a religion only for Iran and for Egypt and for India and for the United States and perhaps the United Kingdom and France. This is a universal religion. This has to go all over the planet. Look at what the center of the covenant is telling us, how the faith is, should spread throughout the world. The first time they had a vision of the planetary dimensions of the cause of Baha'u'llah. Then he passed away. Now from 1617 till 1937, literally there was nothing that was happening in the Baha'i world. For 20 years, of course, the first these 4 years, nothing could happen because it was too soon in the days of Abdul Baha to take any action. It was left to individuals if they would arise. Martha Root arose. May Maxwell arose. And you had Hyde Dunn and Clara Dunn went to Australia. And so there are a few outstanding believers who arose, but not in an organized way, not under the direction and the organization of a central administrative body. It was individual initiative. This is what happened. So during 20 years, from 1917 to 37, it was purely based on individual initiative and some encouragement given by the head of the faith, by Shoghi Effendi, until 1937. Then 1937, as you recall, we had this first seven-year plan. As soon as we had the first seven-year plan, this period, which he describes as a period when the tablets of the divine plan were kept in abeyance. Abeyance means in suspense. Abeyance means suspense. Remained pending, remained waiting, without action. So it was a period when this was in abeyance, 20 years. Then the first seven-year plan, as we saw in the other chart, began. It was at this point, in 1937, when Shoghi Effendi said, now the first epoch of the tablets of the divine plan has begun. So you see, he divided time into two different ways, in terms of the heroic, formative, golden, and then in terms of the evolution of Abdul Baha's divine plan, which was a different time of look, a different way of looking at time. So he said, this is the first epoch. But then he said that as soon as the 10-year plan is finished, it will be the end of the first epoch of the tablets of the divine plan. As you know, he passed away before 1963. He passed away in 1957, somewhere here. But he had already said in his letters that when the 10-year plan will end in 1963, then the first epoch of the tablets of the divine plan will be finished. And then now we are in the second epoch in the evolution of the tablets of the divine plan. How long this second epoch will continue, this is locked up in the knowledge of God. Nobody knows. When the time is appropriate, when it is timely, then the House of Justice will decide that the second epoch of the tablets of the divine plan has ended, and now we enter the third epoch. This is for the House of Justice to decide. So we leave these charts. There is just one more chart I would like to explain. I hope I will have time. When is the meeting? 11? Now, this is an important chart for you. It is not directly a matter for discussion in our meeting, in our meetings during this week, but it's a chart that you have to bear in mind all the time. And I don't think you have a copy of it. Do they have a copy of it? No. So you should have a look at this and understand it, because this is it's a way of understanding not only time but how the faith is growing, how the effect of the faith on humanity, and how, as we look into the future, what do we see in the light of what Shoghi Effendi has written about the future. It is important for you to bear this general scheme in your memory. Maybe it would be very nice if copies could be made of this one and also given to the friends. Now, as you see, it's 1844 here. You see here it's called the minor plan, integration, direct influence. This line here. Major plan, indirect influence. Dotted line. Major plan, disintegration. This is the line of... Then there is a line here, which I will just explain, and these beautiful arrows that go up. I'll have to explain this to you. Let me see if I can have my stick here. All right. Shoghi Effendi explains that there are two plans at work. God's major plan and God's minor plan. So you see, this is still a different way of looking at the events of the day. Another way of looking at time. So you see, Shoghi Effendi is giving us different visions, different aspects of how to look at the past and how to look at the future. Here, he starts with 1844, and he says, this that you see is the integration, is the direct influence of the faith. Now, there are a few passages that I have extracted from the writings. Do you have that as well? You have it, transparency? Let us read those passages, and then we'll come back to this again. These will be given to you, so you don't have to copy them. This is the way he describes the major plan and the minor plan. He says, the minor plan has been described by the Guardian as the design of an inscrutable wisdom and God's all-compelling will, which directs and controls in its own mysterious way the fortunes of the faith. This is Advent of Divine Justice, page 61. A faith which propagates itself by ways utterly at variance with the standards accepted by the generality of mankind. World Order of Baha'u'llah, page 51. The major plan, this was the minor plan, the major plan has been depicted by the Guardian as a demonstration of his invincible power, using both the mighty and lowly, as pawns in his world-shaping game for the fulfillment of his immediate purpose and the eventual establishment of his kingdom on earth. Quotation from Citadel of Faith, pages so and so and so and so. To summarize, the two plans mentioned above have also been characterized by the Guardian as simultaneous processes of rise, now remember the early chart, of rise and fall, of integration and of disintegration, of order, which is the integrative process, and the rise process, of order and of chaos. Chaos is the fall, is the disintegration of humanity and the institutions of the human race. These are the quotations. Now, if we go back now to the chart. All right. So now we come to our chart. I summarize the major plan is what is happening in the world today. It is, in other words, what Baha'u'llah refers to as the destruction of the world. The destruction of the world. It's a destructive process. It is a process of the disintegration, the decomposition, and the final extinction of the systems of the world. This is the destruction of the world. It's not the physical destruction of the planet. It is the destruction of the systems of the world. This is the major plan of God. How does Shoghi Effendi describe this process? He says, it is the hand of Baha'u'llah which is holding the pawns, P-A-W-N, you saw it in the quotation here, of this game. What game is it? It is chess. He is referring to a chessboard. He says the hand of Baha'u'llah is holding these pawns, kings, queens, soldiers, whatever, moving them on this board according to his plan, according to his design. He calls it an all-compelling and invincible power. That's what he calls it. No one can stop it. It's irresistible. It's divine. And it works in mysterious ways. He says this is the major plan of God. We have to accept that. We have to understand this. We have to know when we read in the newspapers, when we look at the news in the world, what's happening in the world, whether it is in Asia or in Europe or wherever it is in the world, we should understand it in terms of God's major plan. You see? Now, the minor plan is what? The minor plan is what you and I are doing. This meeting today is part of the minor plan of God. Whatever the National Spiritual Assemblies are doing, whether it's of Italy or any of the National Assemblies that you represent, this is all part of the minor plan of God. These goals, these plans that Shoghi Effendi outlined for us, and the plans of the House of Justice as it moves into the future, and he even says that when the golden age will come, it will also have its own plans and crusades and epochs. This is part of Baha'i life. Okay? This is the minor plan of God. It is working with us, with you, with me, with the community, Baha'i communities worldwide. He calls this the minor plan of God. Under the guidance of the head of the faith, in the days of Shoghi Effendi, the Guardian, today the Universal House of Justice, which is the pivot
of the covenant. Okay? Now, then, this is how we understand, therefore, the minor plan. It is integration. Integration is this unifying process of the community through the direct influence of the faith. I will leave this line now for a moment. We come to here. This is the major plan. It is the disintegration of society. The chaos. The decay. The total dismemberment of the institutions of the world today. Okay? Now then we have this line. Up there it is called integration direct influence. Here it is called major plan indirect influence. It is also going up. It is the integrative process. It is not disintegration. It is integration. But it is under the indirect influence of the faith. In other words, what Shoghi Effendi is saying is that when Baha'u'llah appeared, when he gave his teachings, when he gave us his revelation, and after him, Abdul Baha and Shoghi Effendi, and today, under the covenant, the Universal House of Justice, this whole thing has released forces in the world, positive forces, constructive forces, just as it has released destructive forces, it has also released constructive forces outside the Baha'i community as an indirect influence of the revelation of Baha'u'llah. Therefore, when we look at the news, we see that there are so many things happening in the world today. The very existence of United Nations is a symbol of this dotted line, which was preceded by the League of Nations. All the various agencies of United Nations, this is all part of this dotted line. You see, all the progressive societies in the world today, these are symbols, signs of the dotted line. The movements in the world today for freedom, for equality of the sexes between men and women, which is all over the world. The movements for freedom, for democracy, human rights, all these things are expressions of the dotted line. This is how we should understand the current news as these developments are occurring and about which we hear about, we read about in the news. So that is our dotted line. It goes up there. Now, as time passes by, eventually, according to the writings of Shoghi Effendi, this indirect influence, somewhere up on the roof, you're going to see the lesser peace. This line is going to lead to the lesser peace. We don't have enough space here. We'll have to break the ceiling and go up. This direct influence will go on until it reaches the most great peace. At a certain point, this indirect part of the major plan will link up with this line, way up there. And you have different developments from the lesser peace to the great peace, from the great peace to the most great peace, when the two lines will merge together. What's going to happen to this disintegrative process? This disintegrative process, according to Shoghi Effendi, will go down and down with every passing day. As I'm talking to you, the world is becoming worse. It is worse today than it was yesterday on this line. That's how it is. It will go down all the time until it reaches a point. Now we come to this line. And this is something that if you have read the material of last year carefully, and Bahia gave you a summary of it yesterday and so on, you find a reference to this line. What is this line? It is this line when this lowest, what Shoghi Effendi calls the lowest ebb of this line, will coincide with the highest point that the faith of Baha'u'llah will reach in its victory and triumph and evolution. That point up there, with this point down here, Shoghi Effendi says, will coincide. Those of you who know enough good English, you know that there is a difference between two words that Shoghi Effendi often uses in his writings. Two verbs. One is coincide, the other is synchronize. When he uses the word coincide, it means two points in time, two events. This is when two things coincide. The two incidents happening at the same time. Coincide. This is the meaning of the word coincide. Shoghi Effendi is using here, when he's describing this line, he uses the word coincide. Synchronize, when he uses the word synchronize, it is when there are two processes. For example, this process is synchronizing with this process. This is where we use the word synchronize. These are synchronizing. All three are synchronizing. But when it reaches to this point, it becomes a coincide. What is the importance of this? The importance is, if you read the material of last year carefully, you see a quotation there in which Shoghi Effendi says that this highest point in the triumph of the faith of Baha'u'llah will coincide with the lowest point in the dismemberment and disintegration of society. The lowest ebb will coincide with the highest point of triumph. This is what he says. Then what happens after that? Then when you read Shoghi Effendi, you see that he refers to mass conversion. When you see, he says, suddenly, and this we'll be dealing with in our own notes maybe this year, suddenly there will be a turning towards the faith. And this is how this line will eventually come up and join our direct line. This will join with that, and this will eventually join. All of them will join with this line, which goes all the way up towards the civilization, the Baha'i civilization, which is the fruit of the most great. We still have 10 minutes. I would like, during my 10 minutes, to explain to you something, if there is time for you to follow me. It's a very important point I want to make, and I want your full attention. We are through with the charts. You can take that off. It is the statement made by Abdul Baha that the dispensation of Baha'u'llah will be followed after a minimum of 1,000 years with other dispensations. In other words, there will be other manifestations of God during this period of 500,000 years. But then he adds the point, Abdul Baha does. He says, you must remember, however, that these manifestations of God will bring teachings which will be updating the laws and principles that Baha'u'llah has given us. Because, for example, all the what we do in the administrative order today may be changed by the future manifestation. The whole question of the way of election and everything else, we don't know how it is going to be. We don't know. So, he says that these future manifestations have the authority from God to change the laws, the ordinances revealed by Baha'u'llah. This is very clear because we are progressing. We believe in progressive revelation. Therefore, it is logical to say that future manifestations can change the laws of Baha'u'llah. It will evolve. Just as science is evolving, revelation evolves. This is straightforward. But he adds by saying that, however, and I've quoted, we have these in the quotations here, when the time will come, we will read them, that these manifestations of God will be under the shadow of Baha'u'llah. This is why we are calling the cycle of 500,000 years the cycle of Baha'u'llah, the Baha'i cycle. How and why is it that the manifestations of God will be under the shadow of Baha'u'llah? Okay. I have 5 minutes. You see, Baha'u'llah, when you read his writings, you see, he says, this is a day which will not be followed by night. Shoghi Effendi quotes this in God Passes By. Again, this is a springtime which will not be followed by autumn. There will be no autumn to this springtime. There will be no night to this day. Now, when you read the writings of Baha'u'llah, you see, referring to the word day. The word day is used by Baha'u'llah in two ways. One way is when he's referring to his own ministry. His day, referring to his own time. That means the period of his ministry of 39 years. This is one meaning when he uses the word, this is the day. And when you read the writings of Baha'u'llah, Shoghi Effendi has quoted them at great length in his writings. You see, this is one meaning. The other meaning is when he's referring to this is the day, he's referring to his dispensation. He's referring to the minimum 1,000 years. This is the day. Means this is a dispensation, not his ministry, but his dispensation. Now, when he says this is a day which will not be followed by night, Shoghi Effendi, in the same God Passes By, quotes this passage, a day not to be followed by night, twice in God Passes By. Once, when he says he's explaining to us the greatness of this day, the uniqueness of this day. That's where he quotes it. The second time he quotes it is at the time referring to the covenant of Baha, of Abdul Baha. He says this is a day which will not be followed by night. He says this is the meaning of it is the covenant. Because Baha, in the Baha'i dispensation, we have the covenant. Therefore, at the end of the 1,000 years, we're not going to have night. The way that we had it before, where there was opposition to the new manifestation. This is what he says. When you take the other statement, this is a springtime which will not be followed by autumn. This is clearly not, he's not talking about his ministry. He's talking about his dispensation. this is a springtime which will not be followed by autumn. In other words, we're going to have spring, we are going to have summer, when the fruit will come will emerge, will appear. But he's telling us, friends, you will not have autumn, you will not have winter. This is because of the fact that the covenant of Baha'u'llah will continue to be effective till the next manifestation appears. It will be when Shoghi Effendi was asked about the future manifestation, he says to the pilgrims, he says that, yes, of course, it will be the duty, it will be the obligation of the Universal House of Justice to recognize the next manifestation, to introduce the next manifestation to the Baha'i community. So the degree of rebellion, the degree of opposition will be so little compared to previous revelations. The next manifestation will have opposition, but not to the same degree. This is why Baha'u'llah is telling us, and Shoghi Effendi quotes Baha'u'llah in the dispensation, he says, deal with him not in the way you dealt with me. He's telling humanity, he's telling his followers, he's telling you and me of the future. Don't deal with him the way you dealt with me. That means don't oppose him the way you opposed me. He's telling humanity, he's telling his own community at that time. Why? Because he knows that he has a universal house of justice at the top. He knows that the universal house of justice is guided by him. He knows that the house of justice will recognize the new manifestation, will announce the new manifestation, and there will be minimal opposition to him. Now, the other meaning of the future manifestations will be under the shadow of Baha'u'llah is clearly stated in these notes, and it is in connection with the fact that the unity of the human race is now being established for the first time by Baha'u'llah. And all that the future manifestations of God will do will be to consolidate this unity, to consolidate this oneness. They cannot go beyond the planetary unity of human society. For 500,000 years, this is the forecast. In other words, what Baha'u'llah brought for the first time, which is the establishment of universal peace, the appearance of the most great peace, the emergence of a new world civilization for the whole planet, this will happen during the 1,000 years, through the Golden Age. And all that the future manifestations of God will do in the future will be to consolidate, to perfect this civilization, to bring it to real, absolute fruition in a manner that the world has never seen. This is why the future development of the human race is unthinkable, inconceivable. So glorious it is that we cannot conceive it. And we are privileged to live in this day during the dispensation of Baha'u'llah, when all these plans are being given to us, when we are called upon as disciples of Baha'u'llah to arise and to carry out these plans, each one of us according to the circumstances that we have. We have a glorious destiny for the faith, and believe me, there is a glorious destiny for each one of us in this hall. If we arise, selflessly, not selfishly, if we arise with pure motive, if we arise by putting our trust in him, our confidence in him, then this outpouring of divine confirmation will surround us, will strengthen us, will guide us, will inspire us. That's what will happen. And this depends on each one of us to cast away fear. Fear of what? We have Baha'u'llah above there, watching us, ready to help us, giving us the promise in his Kitab al-Aqdas that he has hosts at his command. He has angels at his command. He says, you arise and I will send them. This is what Baha'u'llah's promise is. And Shoghi Effendi, in a letter he wrote to the American friends, he said, let the doubter arise. If you are doubting, he doesn't say, get out of my sight, you doubting Thomas. He says, my dear friend, I know your weakness. We are all human. Yeah. But I'm telling you, because of the clear promise of Baha'u'llah, you arise. You are a doubter. Arise. Try Baha'u'llah. You will see how he will keep his promise. How he will send you his angels. How he will confirm you. How he will guide you. And you will be surprised yourself.
Thank you very, very much, Mr. Nakhchavani. Thank you very much. Now we have our coffee break offered by the National Assembly of Italy, and we see each other at 11:30.